Here's the good stuff from Kennedy Malloy. Don't miss the great offers on a great range of vehicles during Toyotathon. See your local Toyota dealer today or search Toyota Value. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thursday evening, people. Good evening and welcome to the Kennedy Malloy Blockbuster. Chock-a-block with the good stuff.
Absolutely.
Today, Jane Kennedy.
Very exciting day.
Jim Jefferies.
Oh, look, I've never spoken with Jim.
Okay, well, you're
and
about
I'm
to.
I'm really looking forward to catching up with
him. He's got some shows coming online in December.
Excellent.
Tickets will go on sale in September. He's a funny guy.
And he's huge in
There's
America.
Lots to talk
he's
about.
Bloody massive.
He is massive. Yeah. He'll be up for a chat.
We'll also talk with Lee Sales.
Okay, there you go.
She's huge
What's
in
she
the States. Well, she's got a new book out as well, so we'll talk to her about that.
Crikey.
But also look at what's coming up on 7:30. It's always good to ask Lee and get her take politically on
sure.
things.
Awesome. I like
Big
stuff
doing
going
that.
On in America right now.
Oh, look,
what's Qantas under the pump? What's happened? You across this?
I'm across this. You don't want to call a doctor Miss.
No.
Because she's a doctor and she'll get really pissed off.
And guys, as we all know, the chicks get huffy. Hey, what about Puttergate?
Oh, you're adorable, as Dave would say. Puttergate. What have you done?
Well,
you're gonna cause a big split in our family.
At home, has there been any update? We'll get to the bottom of that about Rob's very expensive putter, which he purchased overseas and didn't
that
come,
I didn't know
didn't
about.
Come clean on.
No, I did not know about it.
You want to get a receipt?
Because I've never
you
done.
You want to get a receipt?
Well, let's find out. Because I've never done any road purchases that he doesn't know about.
Apart from a $10,000 handbag.
Listen, it wasn't $10,000.
$10,000.
Stop it. Hey, I did something cool. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
In just second?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about it. We'll
I'll
take
your
calls, we'll take your tweets, and we'll get straight into it. Jane, how are you?
I'm good.
You had a big day.
I did. I've got to do another shout-out to Dad. He's listening on the wireless in hospital.
Ah, to Ray
Mondo. I was on my way in, and I realised, oh, my God, I was supposed to get the dog washed because my daughter is really flipping her leash. Her mum, the dog stinks, and the dog gets on the bed and is an indoor dog and is all over us. So
and it's the size of a Shetland pony.
It is a very big dog. So I went to a doggy car wash, a doggy wash.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would attempt to wash. I know it's a big dog,
yeah,
but you'd never given it a crack yourself.
No, but
and it's reasonably long-haired.
Long-haired. And
it's a cracking dog.
She wants warm water.
Right.
You know, I want it nice.
Does she molt as well?
Yeah, she
molts. She's not going to a day spa.
Yes, she is. It's like a doggy day spa. Let's not bring spa and massages again because that was another story yesterday.
Yeah.
But no, I took her to the doggy car wash. And what you do is you put them up on blocks, basically, like a car, and they stand in and you have the hose and you put the different settings and you do the wash, conditioner,
right,
a little bit of flea, a little bit of
blowy, blow dry,
high and low. So I did all that, and she wouldn't get in at first, so I had to crawl in myself and say, this is how you do it. And
you don't have a picture of that, do you?
No, but maybe a few people, there are quite a few in the line and so going to the...
Go on.
I was on all fours.
And
the cars were going past. They were having a bit of a chuckle, couldn't give a stuff that people were laughing at me. Anyway.
And where's your dog? You should have brought it in or see you.
Or clean.
Really? Oh, well, maybe I'll do that
tomorrow.
Like
a crimping wand or something?
Her hair does. Her ears go crimped. It's really cute. Anyway, she's
awesome.
All fluffy and happy. And well, she wasn't happy, but she's all washed. That was my day.
Someone from your house.
Hey, I'll tell you what I also
covered
did.
In ticks.
there's a great guy in the music industry called Billy Pennell, who we've known for a million years.
You have.
And
worked very closely with
a legend.
With him,
yes, a legend in the Australian music world. And he emailed me this morning to say, I'm not sure if you've seen this, and I like to be on top of everything.
Sure.
And this time I wasn't, but he got it. It was Fleetwood Mac on The Ellen Show this morning.
Right.
Was screened in the US.
Okay.
And this is very special because it's the first time Neil Finn has fronted the band since they sacked
Lindsay
in
had
April.
Someone talked to him about that band, didn't they, and their antics.
Yeah, well, I think
watch your back there.
It was a little dicey. Also, Mike Campbell.
No orgies, Neil.
I don't know about Neil. I don't think you'll go that way. Okay. But Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers also was playing lead guitar. Anyway, they went on Ellen and it blew me away. And Neil, they sang Chain, you know, it was.
Yes.
That's a really, really hard song to sing, The Chain. Do you want to hear it?
We will. Before we get to that, can I just mention this? We did just do a cover of Fleetwood Mac.
We did, of the Rumours
the
album.
The Rumours album cover, and it's been getting a good reaction, largely. If you know the album cover, and if you don't, it's even funnier.
Do you know someone today, my eyebrow girl, lady, said, oh, but you just superimposed your heads on that, didn't you? I said, Tamsin, we did not. Yeah. We totally
geared up when I first saw it.
Yep. Clearly go back and have a look. you'll notice the fellow with the ponytail may have put on a bit of weight. If you want to check with the
that
original.
Was Mick Fleetwood and you. Mick was a bit of a beanpole, wasn't
he? It's like a before and after shot. It really is.
But well, listen, you can go and check that out.
It got us thinking about what your favourite album covers are. Yeah. We had a very robust conversation before.
We did.
Give us a call, 133353, if you've got one.
Iconic favourite album covers and why. Why you like them and why they mean something to you.
Abbey Road.
I was just thinking that.
Straight up.
Well,
I walked Abbey Road too.
Queen, A Night at the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
Hot August Night.
Yeah. Hot August Night. Good Lord.
Come on. Right. Give us a call. 133353.
All right.
Thanks to the Toyota-thon. It's on right now. Search Toyota Value.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Earlier today, Jane got the tip that... What?
You're not a massive Fleetwood Mac fan.
We've had this massive argument on air before, haven't we?
And we have.
I think it came down on my side. Fleetwood Mac are not appropriate Triple M band.
No.
You got that wrong. Rumours, we've spoken about this before as well. One of the top five most iconic records of all time. Mm-hmm. Has to be top five.
We're starting the show again, do you realise, with another argument about music. So we won't do that.
All right. But I always lose, I think.
You do always lose, never
mind. Hey, but we put out a call because we've just impersonated or done a tribute, a glowing tribute, an homage to the Fleetwood Mac album cover, and we had a look at a few, and the artwork attached to albums is iconic.
Yeah.
It's artistic. It's current. It takes you back to times in your life.
And instantly recognisable now when you think of, you can picture them.
Instantly recognisable, and we all have our favourites. We're asking you what's the best album cover or the one you like the most. Let's start with Steve-O. How are you, Steve-O?
G'day, guys.
What pops out to you?
First time caller.
Hello.
Yeah, what's the one?
I think what pops out for me, but I think what would pop out for the majority of Australia as well is if we can see Mickey doing a cover of the Nirvana's Nevermind.
No.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, one of the great...
With Speedos on.
One of the... No Speedos.
No.
Sans Speedos. Au natural, baby.
Anything we can do to make that happen, I think...
That's funny, Steve-O.
Maybe that in a pool bar.
It's a good idea.
You can see that there's a couple of stools and a cocktail. That is one of the great album covers of all time.
You know what I love too? They did the boy who was the baby.
Spencer Eldon, his name was.
He did the recreation as a grown-up. It was so cute.
Pretty funny.
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
Thank you. Hello, Bryn.
Yeah, g'day.
Yeah, how you going, Bryn? What is your iconic album cover you just love?
Oh, look, Alice Cooper's Billion Dollar Baby.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now I'm just going to get that up here for you to have a look at.
I'm at a loss. Describe it to me.
Well, it's a green snakeskin wallet.
That's right, with a coin or something. Isn't it?
Okay.
No, it's got a billion-dollar note inside.
Yeah,
I have seen that. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well done.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Bryn.
Okay, Miles, what have you got?
Just to start with, Jane, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you mentioned Night at the Opera. Freddie Mercury designed that. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, God. He is just such a genius. He was such a genius, wasn't he?
Are
we talking about Queen album, when the, you know, all their faces? Oh, Night at the Opera. Night at the Opera's the white one,
It was made up of their star signs. But my favourite album by theirs is News of the World.
Bang. I love that album cover.
Yeah, that had the robot.
It was like the end of the world.
Robot.
I like it a lot.
Yes, yep, got it.
Okay, well done, David. What's the album cover for you? David?
You there, David?
Okay, let's not worry about David. I think his was Pink Floyd, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Dark Side of the Moon.
Which you would have to put up there.
Yeah.
Anytime. Macca! What's the album cover, mate?
Definitely Midnight Oil, Red Sails and the Sunset.
Okay, describe it to people.
Okay, the Opera House, couple of nukes around at either side. Pretty real for the time when it was brought out.
Desolate, isn't it?
Desolate, well
done. Yeah, and the graphics for that advancement back then, because... That was a bit flash.
But they would have, I love the idea, they used to have, you know, complete areas in record companies, the design and everything for that. Also, the artists were so involved. That's
what I watched a great documentary the other night on the ABC. I think it was a repeat about Mambo and about the origins of Mambo. And basically, I did not know this, but most of the artists from Mambo were out of work musos.
Gosh, really?
And a few local writers, and they were trying to work, just do something in the meantime. Reg Mombassa is one.
Mental was in it. Dave Faulkner had something to do with it as well, I think, from the Hoodoo Gurus.
Yeah, from Hoodoo Gurus. They were well represented. Yeah. So it was just fantastic to see how one art form can morph into another. Dan, give us the album cover.
It's got to be the Beatles, mate. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
Sergeant Pepper's, it's not bad.
It's got to be all day long,
mate.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It is. Thanks, Dan.
Don't get feisty
like
about
that.
It.
Hey, Damien's got one that I love. Damien?
Yeah, g'day. How you going, guys? It's David Bowie, Aladdin.
Aladdin,
it was my brother's album, and I was a young kid, and I couldn't believe a guy would have makeup on.
I know,
And then Kiss come around, but he was the original.
He was here. Yeah. Look how cool that is. I've just got it up again when you look at that.
When you talk of iconic images, there's only a couple of us who can get away with that.
Thanks, Damien. Let's finish up with Matt.
Look. Matt's just dropped off, unfortunately, but he said Iron Maiden, Aces High.
Iron Maiden, Aces High. Thank you, everyone.
I would have thrown in there Velvet Underground, the big banana, the banana. That was very good. Boys Light Up. Aussie
core. Oh, yeah, you're right. That is very Australian, isn't it?
I would have thrown in Ripper 75, 76 yeah. with the bum.
Ripper,
with just the,
any of the Rippers?
Any of the Ripper albums.
Fantastic
stuff.
What about the Stones, Sticky Fingers?
Yeah.
Which is a very, very good one. And the Brown album, Martin Malloy, which was just
I've got that, you know.
A brown cover.
Yeah.
That's right.
I remember going around to pitch that to get him. He goes, what is it? He goes, what is it? I said, it's called the Brown album. And he goes, what's it about? And it's just like a riff on the Beatles' White Album. And he looks at us for a minute and he goes, what shade of brown? And then he went and got, I swear this is true, he got, get me a Dulux wall chart. And he had someone come back and we put up a wall chart.
Of the correct, that would suit both you boys to be exact in the brown you wanted, I understand that.
I think we got it right.
Yeah. It won an ARIA as well, I think, didn't it? Or was that Poop Shoot?
ARIA, Brown album won one, Poop Shoot won one, and Eat Your Peas. One, largely for sending a strong message to the kids. But
that was in best children's
well
album.
Well done. Hey, by the way, if you've got some iconic albums, get them to us on the Twitter.
We love it.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jim Jefferies will be joining us soon. Lee Sales on the show as well. Had big, big show. Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy McMalloy.
They're good guests. We had a lovely guest in the other day, Andy Lee.
Yes.
Who is always great. Well, I thought he's a bit rude about your other half.
Rob
Sitch, your boyfriend.
He wasn't rude about him.
He brought to the table the idea that he has a Scotty Cameron gallery putter. And I nearly dropped off
Hang on. Chair. Just backtrack. He let out the fact that Rob has a new putter that I didn't know about.
I didn't know about either. And I virtually fell off this stool when I heard, because these things are
what
rare.
What are we talking? Rare. Sort of lots of zeros on the end.
Mate.
For a putter?
Pay with, you know, those giant novelty checks? Yes. That's how, when you buy one of those, that's what you hand
I don't wow. believe it, because Rob wouldn't do that.
Any other person I know.
No, he wouldn't go and do and buy something of a big, fat amount without asking me.
The only other person I know who uses one is Trump. Anyway, we had a discussion about it on the show. Here's how it went down. This is one of the great putters.
What do you mean? Is a putter a putter?
I looked at the putter and went,
you need to take a loan out to get one of these. This would be like a home loan to get.
This is his new putter.
Yes. Are you aware of how much this putter
No.
He flew to Japan to get it. You can't get one in Australia.
It's a gallery edition Scotty Cameron. You cannot get him.
What do you mean?
You can't get him outside of America.
How much are you talking?
Only in this one store in Tokyo outside of America you get it.
Write it down.
I believe.
I think it costs.
This didn't show up on your joint account?
No.
Yeah.
I'm really
Did you take it up with Rob at all?
Well, look, when you're in a long-term relationship, Nick, and you're the mature one, you wait until you buy something really expensive.
Like a $10,000 handbag.
Listen, that didn't happen.
All right.
You wait to bring it up. So yes. I haven't really touched base with him about it yet.
He's on the line. G'day, Rob. Oh. How are you, mate?
What?
Hello, Michael. Hello, Jane.
Hello, mate.
Isn't a putter just a putter?
Oh.
How dare you?
I beg your pardon. Listen, I thought you took twins to Japan and you bought a watch.
They were a cover.
What is this talk of an expensive putter? Why isn't it putter expensive for a start?
It was very innocent. I walked into the only one shop in the world outside of California. I walked in and they had handmade putters for Jordan Spieth under glass.
Wow.
and like another one which was like made of depleted plutonium or something. And I'm walking around and I'm going, all right, this is my treat for the
Can
trip.
I just ask a question? Where were the children at this stage?
In the car. I can't remember.
Okay, go on.
I think they were with the concierge.
Okay.
And so I've gone, look, I'll get one. But I looked at them and they were such unbelievable value. I thought I'd get one for a few of my friends. I was going to bring one over for Mick.
Oh, well.
And as I'm pulling this thing out, with literally was made for Jordan Spieth and one for me and one, I'm standing there and I'm going, hey, wait a second. Have I got the decimal point right? And as I'm standing with four putters, I pulled out that little app you've got on your phone.
Yeah, I've done, and I've realized, done the sums.
And the answer was no, I didn't have the decimal point. It was going to cost $20,000.
What? So that's four putters. So how much one cost?
Oh, come on, Jane. Don't do the maths
it's
on this.
It's a bit of metal with a thing on the end. It's
how
a stick.
Dare you.
What? Hey, oh, well, that's all right. No, go ahead, mate.
Just so I know, Rob, how much were the broomsticks? The broomstick putters. That would be
out of respect for our relationship, I put three of them.
Well, that's very big of you. Do you know what? That actually, this whole experience makes me really happy.
I think she might have something to confess as well, Rob.
Well, no, not to confess, but I can probably do.
You saying that just like putters are putters, handbags are handbags?
I'm moving on from handbags.
You know what I reckon we'll see later on tonight? It'll be, you know, like that scene where Tiger Woods' wife chased him out of the house and put a club through his windscreen as he lay conscious behind the wheel. This could happen at the situation.
Nick, I would say this. Hit me, but don't use that part. I'll tell you what though, Nick, it was Nick and Jane, it was all worthwhile taking on two elite sportsmen the other day and watching, you know, a 4 foot putt draining.
You and Andy, very happy with yourselves.
You got the
play
out music.
Hey, all right.
Hey, good on you, Sitchy.
You've also left two clubs in the rain, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks, Nick. Thanks for having my back.
Yeah, no, mate, I've always got your back. Mate, when Andy popped into you, I said no, mate. No.
Thanks, Rob, for the call.
Bros before hoes, we always say.
Bros before hoes. Oh, good on you. See ya.
Rob Sitch there joining us on Kennedy Malloy.
You're sitting on something, aren't you? What have you done?
Oh, don't worry.
You can trump that easily.
Well, we got house renovations coming up, so. Things are very expensive. Furniture's expensive.
Now, we thought we might open the phones. You want to do this, like purchases your partner doesn't know about?
That's a good
something you're
idea.
Thinking about?
Have you purchased something that's a bit sneaky, a bit cheeky that you haven't told your partner about? Have you gone off the grid to your own account to purchase something?
Or,
have you lied about the price you paid?
Or have you spent all your Medicare money, say, on purchases like clothes, perhaps that should be going to the children, or a big screen TV.
This seems close to home.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Really close to home. All right, 133-53, give us a ring now. We'll take your calls next.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
We're talking about purchases you may not have shared with your partner.
Like Jane's partner, Rob's been less than truthful.
Yes.
And he's gone to Japan.
He's got a putter.
Under the guise of, I'm going to take the kids.
I'm going to take the boys
on a trip.
I'll take them
straight to the only place in the world that sells a Scotty
P.S.
Kevin gallery.
And the only reason I know is because Andy Lee blabbed.
Blew the whistle on this very program. And it begs the question, have you purchased something? Have you been sneaking around? Have you been less than truthful with any of your purchases? Lee's on the line. Lee.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. What have you done?
Actually had two Harleys, exactly the same colour. One would stay in the garage and one would stay in the carport, and I'd done the old swapsies.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
So you got two Harleys painted the same so that your wife doesn't know.
Yep. One was turbo, the other one was supercar.
Oh,
you never know. One would come out, one would go in.
To this day, she's convinced you had one motorbike.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Hilarious.
Lee. Prize for Lee.
Yeah, $100 fuel card.
Oh, my
card.
God.
Oh, Lee, that is painted the same.
Good for you.
Well done. We're on fire. Dale, what did you buy that was out of order?
I bought a pair of binoculars for hunting, and normally I filled in my receipts, and my wife's an accountant, she was doing the account, and I actually gave her a bunch of receipts, and the receipt for them was in there.
And what was the binoculars worth?
3,500.
What?
Okay, look.
For binoculars?
Hey, yes. Dale.
Dude, does it kill the deer at the same time?
No, you can see the pimples on their bum.
Oh, so
maybe if
God.
You were the commander of a U-boat, you can spend $3,500 on binoculars.
Dude, that's brilliant.
Otherwise, there's no need, big fella.
Did she call you out on it?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, yep. Did you let her buy something then expensive?
No, she'll get me back.
Oh, all right. Okay. Thanks, Dale.
I know her, she already has. Hank!
Hello there.
What'd you do?
Firstly, I feel like an underachiever after Lee's story.
Yes. Give it a burl.
I bought an Omega watch for $6,500 because I've always wanted one. The astronaut watch.
Mm. Yes, yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, good on you.
Right. It hardly sees the light of day. I wear long sleeves over it.
Yeah.
And she still doesn't know I've got it.
Oh, she doesn't know you bought it?
No.
Oh, that's so sad.
You
can't
be sneaking around with a watch. Do you know what? Just say you bought it in Bali. Say it's a knockoff. I bought it in Bali.
Correct.
But be very careful when you're touching it.
Tell her it's fake.
Thanks for that.
All right.
Good on you, Hank. Hello, Rusty. Geez,
Hank, he's sneaking around with a
watch. Yeah, hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Rusty, what's one of your dubious purchases?
I was on a family holiday in Hawaii and told the wife that I really wanted to buy a Hawaiian ukulele.
Oh, yeah. Good place to buy one.
Yeah, that was okay. She agreed. It was great. And I could spend up to maybe $500.
That's a fairly generous.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah, very nice. And I found this lovely hand-carved made from one piece of wood.
Yep.
And I may have moved the decimal point a little. It was 4,500 something.
Listen, hey, I don't think Vance Joy has one for that price, mate.
Beautiful ukulele.
Right. Nice. Don't go smashing that at the end of a gig.
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. You know what you do when you tell her it was 4,500. Play something really quickly because it sounds really cheerful. There you go.
That's right.
Pretty upbeat.
Rusty, when are you going to tell her? Are you really going to? I want you to. Come on.
Nah, but I
would you like us to tell us?
An old saying that when I die, please don't let my wife sell my guitars. What I paid for them.
Well, she'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm guessing.
Right. Thanks, Rusty, for the call. Let's go to Josh. Hey, Josh.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. Josh, what's a purchase that you might have made that someone else didn't know about?
A return trip to Croatia.
Okay, this strikes me as weird, but you've got to get busted with that when we, go to Croatia. How do you plan on getting away with that?
Well, I sent her to Melbourne to her mum's for a week, and I thought, well, she's away, and, she probably won't know, but... unfortunately, in this world of technology and everything, I figured she probably would, so...
We're probably checking your Instagram account there, Josh.
Yeah, I called her from the airport as I was leaving the country so she couldn't say no. And in my defense, it only cost me 350,000 frequent flyer points, so...
She'll see the funny side.
Yeah, sure.
You go see your mum's. I'm off to Croatia.
Yeah.
Some very ugly women over there, too.
He's saying that tongue-in-cheek.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Thank you, Josh, for that call. Hi, Peter.
Hey, g'day.
Yeah, what did you do, Peter?
About a year ago, I had a one-hour discussion with my wife and explained to her, a very one-sided discussion, why I needed to buy a bigger boat.
Oh, yes.
And I thought I'd won the conversation when she stormed out of the room and said, well, just do what you effing like.
You're treating that as a victory.
You're beauty. So I went next week, I upgraded the boat, got this bigger boat, drove it home, she came out and had a big argument, and I said, what's going on? She went right off, because apparently do what you effing like doesn't necessarily mean
you took it literally.
You've got that all wrong, Peter.
Well done, Peter. You happy with the boat? She been on it?
Yeah, no, it went back.
Oh, really? You could have named it after her.
I'm sorry, Mick, I caved.
You caved in, mate. You know, that's right, Jay. You could have named it after her. That would have been your only bargaining chip.
Thanks, Peter.
What's her name?
Chrissy.
The Lady Chrissy, you would have called it. You would have got away with it.
Next time, Peter, there's your master plan. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Rob. What did you do that was a crazy purchase?
Yeah, I bought an armoured car.
What? Okay. Let's just backpedal a bit here. Okay, how did that come about, Rob?
I was talking to a guy that had one that had to get rid of it in a hurry.
Right.
It just came up in conversation.
Yeah. So I thought I could slip that one under the net, maybe not get caught. tied it all up.
I'm not getting caught with an armoured car. Hey, honey, I've just been out to the carport. Is that your armoured car? Or?
He never comes out to the shed. I thought if I could get out the truck and in the shed before she came home, I could probably introduce it a little bit later on in the marriage, maybe. But anyway, timing is everything.
It's like Hogan's Heroes around at your place. Hey, great callers. We might take a few more of these. They're pretty good. Give us a call. 1-333-53.
Yep. On the other side of this, more of your calls.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Talking about Jane Kennedy. Well, Rob Sitch sneaking around behind Jane's back, purchasing.
Well, it was something he didn't feel that he needed to tell me about until Andy Lee brought it up and said that they had played golf together, and apparently it works very well.
If he ran into a burning house, that's the only thing he would grab.
If we have a big fight, I can run out like Tiger Woods style with the putter. Yeah,
and donk him.
Donk him.
I got us thinking, what extravagant purchase have you made that you couldn't cough up or fess up, or have you lied about? And it's largely blokes, I'm fine.
Yeah, not one female colleague, no.
Well, they're either just smarter about
it. I think so. Or like bragging.
Or men are just,
clever.
Idiots. Lance.
Mick.
Hi, mate, what'd you do? What was the extravagant purchase?
New lawnmower.
How much?
$18,000.
What?
Okay, it's a sit-down,
hang
right?
Hang on.
It's a sit-down?
It's a ride-on mower?
Yeah, ride-on, yep.
18 grand?
Yeah. My council has a diesel.
That's all right, mate. Well, I'm sure you can sell it to her if you can.
10 acres of grass to cut. She wanted the grass mowed, so.
10 acres? I thought you were going to say, like, you know, 100,000
hectares. Don't be silly. Yeah. 10 acres? That's amazing.
A drover's station or something, you know.
She didn't talk to me for about 3 months. I told her to get over it.
Well,
Lance.
Yeah, Lance.
18,000.
Hey, I'll tell you how she gets over it. Do you let her ride it?
No.
Oh, that's not fair. She could at least have a bit of a fang.
You should pick her up and take her on a date. You should take her out for a night out in the town on the sit-down lawnmower.
I've made the offer, but she declined.
Good purchase, though.
Yeah. Nice purchase,
I
Lance.
Entirely endorse the sit-down mower. Griff.
Hello, Griff.
Hello. Afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good.
What'd you do?
It was just me and some mates and a couple of my brothers. We actually had shares in a racehorse.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, it was all went well. It was all went, you know, I got away with it until I just didn't cross one T.
What was that?
We're out at the track and I took the missus with me and she's gone, why is your name down as one of the owners?
Griff.
That's funny.
Oh, Griff, you idiot.
I had it all, you know.
And you had everything covered.
Yep.
Well, I thought I did.
Was that a quiet trip home in the car, was it, Griff?
Well, let's just say at the track it was quite tight.
A bit frosty.
And unfortunately, the horse was probably like my first marriage. It ended up no good.
I was going to say, at least if it had a one, you would have had a chance. Well done, Griff. I like it a lot.
I love the fact that Griff's totally amusing himself.
You got to laugh. Mark,
hello.
What'd you buy?
An 80s arcade game.
Oh. Okay, which one?
Oh, the one with 100 games on it.
One with 100 games on it. Yeah. One of the sit-down Space Invaders
tiles,
table games, yeah? What happened? And how much did you spend?
$2,000.
Okay, and you got busted?
No, it's in the shed. She wouldn't know it's there. She never goes to the shed.
Okay, here's advice to all women. Just, go out to the shed now.
There's so much going
and
on
have
in
a
the
look
shed.
Here, but Mark, look under the tarp in the shed, ladies. Yep.
Do you ever get to enjoy it then?
When she's out or late at night when she's asleep.
Oh, my God. It's like you're having an affair with your arcade machine.
A frogger.
So do you sneak out to the shed at 2 in the morning?
A bit of pong.
Yep. I was born in the 70s, so it's very close to my heart.
Sure.
It makes you happy, mate.
That's
you
lovely.
You keep doing it. And, good luck.
Hello, Peter. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, Peter, what's your purchase?
Mine's along the same lines as the guy before. It's a greyhound.
Yeah.
You purchased a greyhound. How much?
It was about $4,000. She's still racing at the moment. She's running tomorrow, actually. Wow.
And does your partner know?
No, we named the syndicate the Mum Doesn't Know Syndicate.
And she's running tomorrow.
I'm in with my two daughters, so I combined their Christian names for the name of the dog.
Which is?
I don't know if I can come up
with that. Don't tell us. Hey, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Mate, I don't know if she'll see the funny side when she finds out.
No, that
you and her daughters
I've been married to her for a while, so I know what she's like. She doesn't have a funny side.
$4,000 is a big input there.
Well,
she must be good horse.
You can pay more than that for an animal. James is on the line. James,
how are you?
Yeah, good.
What did you purchase?
Well, it wasn't me. It was a mate who did it. But he bought a budgie. He bought a show budgie.
A show budgie? And for how much?
$12,000.
What?
No! Hang on, we've got the budgie,
we've got a budgie expert,
expert here.
As an AVN expert here, James, the owner of 8 Budgies currently, I can't understand how you'd pay $12,000 for a show budgie.
Yeah, he did. He did it. He wanted it.
It's a breeding budgie.
Yeah, but my budgies breed.
Well, don't let him anywhere near Dave. But if you do,
we know what happens to your dog. It breeds with everyone too, Dave.
Charge Dave a couple of grand for your budgie to root his. Yeah,
$12,000.
That's ridiculous.
What colour was it?
It was just a green budgie.
Just a domestic style operation.
No, not a domestic.
Yeah, but it was like a supermodel.
It was like
a supermodel. It was like perfect.
Yeah.
All right, well done all. I think we learned
a
lot
everyone,
about the electorate today. Well done, everybody.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
There's a story that is out that, Mick, you were quite amazed as like a lead story, and I've seen it's going to be on the
news. It's a story, and it's, you know, if what's happened, fair enough, but is it the most important story in Australia right
Probably
now?
Probably not.
Is my question.
Hmm. But it's sort of...
It was leading all the news bulletins.
It's clickbait as well, in a way.
Lord.
Well, I might as well share it because everyone's talking about it. An Australian doctor has gone Burko on Twitter.
Yeah.
After a Qantas flight attendant accidentally addressed her as Miss, when on her ticket it said doctor, because she is a doctor. And she put out, this is Dr. Siobhan O'Dwyer, put out this. Hey Qantas, my name is Dr. O'Dwyer. My ticket says Dr. O'Dwyer. Do not look at my ticket. Look at me. Look back at my ticket. Decide it's a typo and call me Miss O'Dwyer. I did not spend 8 years at university to be called Miss, she wrote.
Mm.
So the brouhaha that has occurred.
This is massive. Hold the front page.
Well, she's now said, copping so much flack. It wasn't about my ego because a little bit.
I think the phrase, I didn't go to school for 8 years to be treated like a miss.
I know. She says, I don't think it was a gender issue. I'm just saying it myself. She says, it was about highlighting one of the 1,000 instances of sexism that women encounter every day. It's not about the title. It's about the fact that this wouldn't have happened if I was a man.
Okay.
Well, you've got a story where exactly that has
happened. Exactly the same thing happened. A friend of mine, Dr. Robert McGuinness.
Yep.
So when we were younger, he first became a doc. We went on a golf trip to the Gold Coast, and as you might understand, they get fairly ripe. Fair bit of golf played, fair bit of drinking.
Sure.
We bail onto the plane to get home, and we look fairly shabby. Mm. But so he's come up, and we go, look, and we're running late. And they had to issue our tickets.
At the last minute.
They go, Michael Malloy, yes, Dr. Robert McGuinness. He goes, that's me. And she goes, just come on. Seriously, where's the doctor? He was standing there as bold as brushes, and we all laughed our heads off. So you can see the funny side sometimes when there's a. But if it's a. Is she saying the man? It was a man who dissed her, not another woman.
She didn't actually say the gender.
Because a cabin crew has
cabin
gone.
Cabin crew said. I think she felt a bit patronised and a bit, look at her, look at the ticket, look back at her and went, I don't think you're a doctor. I'm just going to take it off my bat to call you Miss.
But it's only sexist if it's a man. So is it a male who said that to her? No?
It must be.
Elements of sexism. Mm. And what did she say? So
it must be. I don't know if it was a man. I don't know if it was a man. Can someone find that out for me while I'm on air and not making a complete idiot of myself if I know if it's a man or not?
Well, I don't know. I don't really care. I mean, hey, by the way, someone write your tweet. But these news shows have been going, it's like there's nothing else to cover this afternoon. And Qantas, I have to say, generally, I've had pretty good service from Qantas and found them quite helpful. So even if there's a loose cannon on deck or a rogue thing, I don't know if Qantas needs to be.
I'm just reading out some more. Another woman has said, I often travel with male colleagues who do get doctor and then I get called miss.
Right.
So there's another woman saying that she gets called Miss. Keep calling it out, Dr. O'Dwyer.
Well, as I've always said, men are pricks. Men, they're just complete arseholes.
Not all men are.
No, I think pretty much.
Oh,
you can get anything published these days.
Well, at the
Come
moment.
Come here, ring us up and say a man treated you badly.
No.
Come on, we'll put it to air.
Well, I'm not agreeing with her either. Mm. What I'm saying is, I'll tell you something that I am bothered by.
Yeah.
When I'm filling in a form, I don't want to put a title in.
Why?
Because I don't want to be...
Don't put me in that pigeonhole.
Well, no. I don't want to be Mrs. I don't want to be Ms. I don't want to be Miss. And I don't want to be Doctor.
What do you
I just want to be my name.
Lady? Mm. Lady Jane Kennedy?
Princess Jane?
There you go.
No, I'm being serious. Dentist Jane. I don't want anything, okay, because it does define people because people go, oh, are you married? Are you not married? What's going on with you? Especially for women.
But doesn't it define the gender if you don't know what the, like, it could be a Peter and
but
a Peter
cares?
And a Lee and a Lee.
But who cares what your gender is when you're filling in a form? This is an issue.
Right.
Unless it's a medical health issue and you're pregnant or something, Fred, that'd be dumb. Right. But I can't get past sometimes when I don't tick that box, they will not let you proceed. And once I wrote to the Human Rights Commission about it.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
All the way to Canberra.
I
didn't go to school for 8 years to...
I wrote it to UNESCO. You know,
you went
I wrote
overseas?
To Switzerland. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I didn't hear back.
Right. I want to be a duke. Would you be a lord or a duke?
Well, you just buy a title.
Lord Michael Molloy.
You know,
or Duke, Duke Mick,
Duke Molloy. That sounds good. My mate,
Duke Mick the Third.
Julia Morris bought her title, Lady
the
Julia Morris,
the Third Earl of Richmond.
Not bad.
That's what I want to be.
Let's look it up.
Come on,
to make it happen.
All right,
I'll get it you for you as a present next year.
Do we find out? Is it a man or a woman the hostess?
We're on the phone.
I don't know, but someone in their Twitter said the trolley dollies, and that started. But
apparently,
all
didn't she fire back with trolley dollies?
I don't think it was her exactly. But I'll tell you what, she'll probably be on the news tonight.
Well, I'm sure
she'll probably have her own radio show by next week.
That's true. Hey guys, we're talking about Fleetwood Mac earlier, and we played. With Neil Finn. What are you looking at me like that
know,
for?
I just wanted to turn
on okay, you. I'm just saying we're getting a lot of traction. I don't know whether you've seen
about
this
already.
Because you've done the recreation of the classic album
cover.
We've
done the Rumours album.
So, what's your point?
My point is, if you haven't seen it, because it's one of the most talked about today, it's trending on Twitter.
It's going all right.
You can see it at Kennedy Molloy. It's you, Mick, as a, well, a young
man.
It
was a very hard position
you've
to get
into. You've got a footstool.
I've got a footstool.
What's that
but
sort of thing dangling from you? What's that?
Oh, they were just...
On the album cover. It was there originally. It's not a joke.
We were true to... Exact true to form.
That's
what is
it.
There?
What are they?
They're little pom poms, mate.
They are pom poms. Yeah.
Strapped to your zipper or something.
Oh, Dave.
That's art.
Don't
is
study it?
It
too hard.
You're talking to the Third Earl of Richmond. Okay.
Hey, we're going to come back with a very special guest.
I want a scabbard. Can I have a scabbard?
Okay.
Sure, you can. Yep. Kennedy Molloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
And it is a roll gold beauty, let me tell you. Lee Sales will be in, Jane. She's got a new book out.
She has. Very impressed with that. And
like it a lot.
She's going to talk to us about quite a few subjects.
Yep.
That's coming up. We're also going to take your tweets, take your texts as we normally do. It's already been a big first hour.
That has indeed. There's a bit of feedback coming our way.
We're
going to chat to Jim Jefferies.
Oh, that'll be great.
Jim Jefferies. Yep. He's one of the great Australian stand-up comedians who's done very well overseas. I think he's been working overseas now for about...
20 years, I think.
20-odd years.
Yeah.
He'll be coming home for a barnstorming tour. He's an arena performer. He plays just about...
We saw him last time he came out. One of the funniest shows you'll ever see.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's great.
I think we're going to get
he's
him on the line, actually.
He's an Aussie lad.
An Aussie lad. We're going to call him up first because he's not out here yet, so we'll...
We'll get to him on the line. Just quickly. We should give you a taste, though, of what he gets up to. Obviously, being Australian, he's got a fair bit of Australian skewed material. He's got a bit where he's talking about Mariah Carey and James Packer.
Yeah,
and
this
doing
is
a bit of stand up for them.
Mm. That's right. He was invited by Mariah to perform at a party for James. And I don't think James
he didn't
knew.
Know.
No. Because he probably would have said to Mariah,
So. Anyway, this is a grab from a podcast he did a while ago where, as yet, he still isn't naming them, although he has.
He
trust
has today,
us. It's Mariah Carey and James Packer.
I thought it was going to be a big party. It turned out to be a dinner party. I went to the kitchen and my childhood hero, Eddie Murphy, walks into the kitchen. He literally, he's going to like one of the maids there. He's like, does anyone get like a Gatorade or something? Oh, dehydrated. I want like a Gatorade. Like that, right? And I swear to you, this happened. He turned to me and he went, oh, I know you do the TV show with the disabled boy. And I said, I do the TV show with the disabled boy. And he goes, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm about to go do stand-up for the dinner party. And he goes, well, that's not going to go well. So I walk out into the garden. Eddie Murphy's sitting there, Al Pacino, Warren Beatty, and then Leonardo DiCaprio walks in with three women. And he walks past me on the grass, and everyone greets him like he's Norm from Cheers and goes, Leo. And I'm like, f***ing hell, eh? So anyway, so I do the stand-up, and it's not going very well. And then the guy whose birthday it is, who I've been told is a big fan of mine, he goes, just do the gun bit, will you? And I went, all right.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I believe that Jim has somewhat elaborates and incorporated that piece into his stand-up shows, which are coming up in December. Yeah.
You can also see him on the Jim Jefferies show, which yes. I think is on Comedy Central
it is. Yeah.
At the moment. And it's a bloody good show. It and it's about living in America, and it's pretty topical.
Yeah.
And being an Australian overseas, he's got some rare insights. Mm. And I will play you a bit now. This is from a segment he does called
America, You're Doing It Wrong.
Here we go.
At the end of every meal, I have to conduct an impromptu employee evaluation, like well, you brought me the water and you had good communication skills, and then you drew a competent yet wonky smiley face on the check. So, I'm going to give you 20%. Does that sound fair? And the server says, sounds like you're a famous person who has his own TV show and I have access to Twitter. And then I say, good point. Let's make it 50.
There it is.
Yes.
Very good.
All right.
All right, so he's coming up. We're going to talk to him in a minute.
He's coming up. Let's go.
Right after this, Jim Jefferies on Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Jim Jefferies is known for many things, like getting punched in the face on stage back in 2007.
Oh, hang on. Employ that bloke for when gigs are going badly.
He's known for his gun control material that continues to go around the internet.
There is one argument and one argument alone for having a gun, and this is the argument. F*** off. I like guns. It's not the best argument, but it's all you've got.
He's known for his thoughts on the current president of the United States.
If you've ever said this sentence, I like him because he's a straight talker, you're as dumb as
And he's known pretty well here in Australia because he's about to embark on an arena tour. Please welcome Jim Jefferies.
Hello, Jim. Come in. Are you there, son?
Hello. That's the biggest intro I've ever had.
Oh, so, no, really?
Well, we better start at the top, mate.
We started with he's famous for being punched in the face. Yeah. It wasn't the nicest intro, but it was the biggest.
That is a badge of honour, sir, on a stage, I think, that says, you know you've done your job when someone walks up and dongs you. How are you? When are you coming out here? That's going to be massive.
It's going to be December sometime. The only reason I'm coming out is I plan on my Australian tours around a family event. So my brother's getting married.
Yep.
I thought I'd do a tour, slap that on the end. His grandfather's 98, so it could be any day now, the next tour.
Well, you better get in quick. Hey, Jim, when I said that I was talking to you, I was, in fact, just got off the phone to a mate of mine, Russell Mark. And he said, oh, crikey, yeah, I know, Jim. He's done one of the most amazing stand-ups about gun control.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird thing that I get more famous in America every time there's a massacre. It's not like I get excited.
Oh, no.
It's so common. I actually met you in Perth.
Good Lord.
Once. It was like my third or fourth ever open mic spot, and I started running a comedy night, and I saw you staggering down the street with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth. So I was a big fan. Yes. I gave you a flyer. And you wrote your number on the back, and you wrote, make them laugh and feed them Fruit Loops, Mick Malloy. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Give me a call. I'll perform at your club sometime. And then I just waited and waited and waited. And then I called you at about 11 a.m., and you woke up, and you coughed up a chunk of cigarette phlegm, and you sounded pretty groggy. And you were like, what are you calling me for? And I go, we met the other day. comment.
Jim, you should have known better than calling Mick Molloy before 4 p.m. is, you know.
Nothing's changed, Jim.
I thought 11 was a very reasonable
time. Oh, right.
It was a civilised hour. Jim, you're an Australian. You're based in America now. How does that go? Are you in an advantageous situation to monitor their politics? Because I know on your show, the Jim Jefferies show, you rip into American politics a fair bit.
Well, it seems weird because the three sort of main shows now, well, the four main hosts are me, Trevor Noah, John Oliver and Samantha Fee, and that's a Canadian, a South African and a British person. They just need foreigners to go, hey, don't do that. What you're doing there is wrong.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, we didn't see it before. We're all caught up like morons.
It's a fantastic show. I have to ask, how do you get Brad Pitt to do your weather?
I think Brad was going through a divorce, from what I hear.
Right, there's a rumour.
One of them.
During his divorce, he was watching a lot of Netflix comedy specials, and we had the same management, and he asked to meet me. And I was like, I'll meet Brad Pitt, And then he goes, I'll do your show, what do you want me to do? And just off the top of my head, I said, you could be a new weatherman. And he was like, all right, I'll be there on Tuesday. And I went back to all the producers and writers, and I said, Brad Pitt's showing up on Tuesday. And they go, do you have any contact for him? I go, no, he just said he'd be here. I gave him the address. He said he'd be here. And so we're all very nervous, and he showed up.
Jeez.
Fantastic.
And then we gave him his brown suit to wear as our weatherman. And then one of the producers said to me afterwards, they said, Brad Pitt's nicked the suit. The suit's gone out of his trailer. And then, about 3 weeks later, he'd gone rogue and started doing his own weatherman sketches in the suit, on the canals of Venice.
That's unbelievable.
And he started recording his own weatherman stuff and texting him to me in the middle of the night. I got one on my phone from Mumbai, Italy.
Mate, hey, it's great stuff. Mate, do you look forward to coming back and performing in Australia? Is it like going home to where you did your first shows? Do you treat them differently?
It's exactly like that. I think Billy Connolly always said it's like performing in front of your aunties. When I'm over here in America and I'm saying all the time, right?
Yes.
It's like they're like, that's what all Australians do. And that's not what all Australians do. I get in trouble. My mum would slap me if I said that word.
It gets pretty fruity on this. Yeah.
It's a cultural difference.
Yeah.
The reason I'm an arsehole is cultural.
Your Honour, it's great fun. I can't wait to see you. The last time we went and saw you, you were at the Tennis Centre or one of the arenas there, or Margaret Court or somewhere. And my friend, Limo, who's a comedian, turned to me and he goes, I've never seen so many utes in the one car park, which I put on as that is high, high praise.
It is indeed.
I would have thought from, yeah.
Hey, there's a real buzz when I've said to a few people we're talking to you today, Jim, so we can't wait to see you out here and bring your show. We'll definitely be coming along in December.
Yeah, and swing by the studio when you're here, mate.
I'll try to come by the studio as well. And if you come by and say hello, I'd love to meet both of you.
We will, mate. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on all your success. And, I should have turned up at that tryout night now I think about it. Good on you, Jim.
You've done well. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah,
Jim's show, The Night Talker, hits arenas Adelaide, Perth, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne this December. Tickets on sale next Friday, the 14th of September at tickettech.com.au.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
By the way, 7:30, the best analysis of local, national and international events, ABC Monday to Thursday. Lee Sales joins us right
Hello,
now.
Hello, Lee. How are you going?
Lee.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Really well.
Sizzle, you're up to something. What?
Well, you are.
On the back foot. We've got it here.
Lee is up to something, actually, because you're about to have a book released on the 1st of October, Any Ordinary Day. Congratulations, author Lee
Thank
Sales
you.
As well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's taken me about 4 years to finish that at in 15-minute blocks.
What's the problem? Well, you can't do it with the ad breaks, can you? It's not like you've got me. What do you do? You keep walking away from it, or you need the muse? What happened? Why 4 years?
Oh, just because I've got two bloody children all the time and an actual job. So I'd have to get home and then 9 o'clock at night, sit there and sort of beaver away.
And it's a collection of interviewing people about some of the more extraordinary things that happen in their lives. So
it's sort of about my own experience hosting a show like 7:30 every night and how literally literally every night there will be somebody on my show who's just been living a normal day. They got out of bed and thought it was just a normal day, and then their life is completely turned upside down.
Bang.
And because I see that every night, it rattles me because I keep thinking, well, when's that going to happen to me?
Oh.
And I did have a sequence of things that happened in my life that were not great. And then it just put me on this, I just wanted to, it just rattled me so much. I wanted to understand, well, what happens after the worst thing that you fear, you know, does actually happen to you? Like, what happens next? And so then I sort of explore that question with the help of
how extraordinary.
People.
I've got my copy and cannot wait to get bedside.
It's
and,
a great
have
quote on the cover from Anna Funder. Sales digs deep and bravely defined in the most horrific situations. The human capacity for hope, courage and kindness. She's warm, wise, humble and goes off like a firecracker in the sack.
Warm, wise and humble.
Fairly forward.
humble? She's never met me. I'm a bloody television star. I'm as up myself as they come.
So there it is. Well, go along and have a look at that. I'll be doing that. Have you done a talking book version?
I have actually, yeah. Okay. I did. I have done the talking book version for the people amongst us who can't read, Mick. Yes.
I'm just thinking for those long trips.
Excellent. Now, what can we expect to see on the program tonight? Let's get that started.
Well, I think the whole nation's been sort of stopped basically watching John Millman in the US Open.
Okay. Did you get invested in that?
I was actually watching the other day with Federer because I was just, I sort of caught my eye and I was like, this kid from Queensland's about to bloody knock off Roger Federer. Yeah. It was so incredible. So we've gone and hung out with John Millman's parents today, who've of course
rippers.
Been watching him. Absolute rippers. And they told us that hilariously, when they were younger, his sisters never used to let him win a game and they used to absolutely wipe the floor with him at tennis.
Well, he's just been knocked out, I think.
Djokovic knocked him over.
As far as I'm concerned, he's let himself down. He's let his
country
down.
That's not what we're saying at all.
Don't you
should do a really ugly interview with his dad. How do you feel?
I think I should get him on for an interview and just say, you know, John Millman, what went wrong? And if he tries to dodge it, just go, no, you've let the nation down. The sort of interview I do for politicians.
I like it.
All right. Stump now,
the table, Lee.
Speaking of politicians, now it's all been, you know, at least as things seem to have settled down a bit this week, or you're shaking your head, Lee. What's
happening?
Going on?
Paint the picture.
I was just thinking how last time I came on your show, I said, look, I don't think it's going to happen. Look, cue it all being on tomorrow. Literally, that is exactly what happened. I mean, geez, what a time. And it's all still, you know, going on. I still am waiting for someone to come on the show to actually explain why it was necessary.
Right.
I don't think we've had a really cohesive explanation yet as to why that had to happen.
Right.
I mean, we all know it was because they just, you know, people in the party didn't like Malcolm Turnbull, but no one's actually been able to come up with a decent enough reason on the record.
Have you ever had an au pair, Lee?
I haven't actually, no.
Sounds like we all shall get on this caper somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
How long has this been going on?
Give the minister a ring and he can get into it. Peter Dutton, I mean, has had a pretty rough few weeks, which actually I must say I think began with when he was given a radio interview, and this has become a trap for politicians. Every politician listening, you need to get yourself a favourite AC/DC song.
We might have that here.
Maybe some Farnham and help too.
We might have to play this to remind people. This was on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne. Let's just have a listen.
Peter, I gave you a hard one before, so I'll give you an easy one to finish up here today. What's your favourite AC/DC song?
This is the one where it catches you out. So I had about an hour and a half sleep last night. And I'm trying to catch up with you, Will, but I haven't, mate. I'm sorry. You've got the gotcha of the day.
And that's probably
I think Listen to My Thieves was my NXS one when I was last in, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
There you go.
Good choice.
But so that's a good answer. Don't try and here's a tip for you, Peter. Don't try and sing songs you don't know the lyrics to.
Yeah, my 80-year-old father could name about 5 AC/DC songs, so no excuse.
Malcolm Turnbull got caught out on the AC/DC question as well, answered it. It was hilarious where they said, what's your favourite AC/DC song? And he sort of fumbled for a minute and then he went, well, what's your favourite AC/DC song?
Oh,
and then
terrible.
They were like, oh, Back in Black. He's like, Black in Black, mine too. Back in Black.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Lee Sales, our very special guest on Kennedy Malloy. By the way, Lee's book, Any Ordinary Day, check that in your bookstores October 1.
She's doing that. She's got a podcast with Annabelle Crabb called Chat 10. How's that going?
That's going pretty well, just cruising along. I mean, I've got to carry that passenger along Crabb with me. That's... That's always hard.
Chat 10 looks 3. Pardon me. I should get the title right. Something else.
Yeah,
I
she's
can...
dragging down the looks average. It'd be looks 7 if she wasn't along.
There just seems to keep coming down the pike, but the release of a new book overnight by Bob Woodward called Fear, and it has blown the lid off the inner circle, the palace intrigue that's going on at the White House. Again, I'm going to ask it, can he recover from this? The answer seems to be always yes. But this is like this is like someone's just thrown a hand grenade into the White House.
As you say, conventional wisdom, you'd say, well, who could bounce back from this? Well, there's just been so many things before. You just assume it'll keep rolling along. One of the different things with Bob Woodward is that some of the books that have come out about the Trump White House are by people who are considered tabloid. Partisan or tabloidy. Whereas Woodward is very highly respected. And also Woodward... he records a lot of stuff. He insists on getting stuff on the record. He verifies stuff. The other thing that everyone's buzzing about in Washington that's happened overnight their time, there's a piece that's appeared anonymously in the New York Times on their opinion pages by someone who works in the White House saying we're part of the resistance inside the administration. And so can you imagine the fear and loathing that must be going on now?
Apparently he's interviewing them all and they're all being pulled in.
I love this stuff.
My favourite detail is that one of his aides in relation to foreign policy actually grabbed a document off his desk and hid it because he thought if he sees this, it will be a danger to national security. We can't account for what he would do. I mean, what is this? Is Dr. Strangelove. This is incredible.
If you wrote this in a novel and offered it up, I reckon your publisher would say you're over-egging it. Like they'd say this is unbelievable. You wouldn't get away with it.
Now, Julie Bishop has come out today. She's been at a special women's function. It was the Women's Weekly Awards event in Sydney, speaking there. She's taken aim at her parliamentary colleagues, saying that she thinks their behaviour has, in fact, been appalling. And she says it's not acceptable that less than a quarter of MPs in the Liberal Party were women.
Yeah, and this, I think one of the really telling things on this issue is that we have basically within the parliamentary Liberal Party now a lot of those women are on the record as saying that there is a cultural problem and that they felt bullied or intimidated during the leadership spill. We had the Minister for Women, Kelly O'Dwyer, on the program on Monday night saying the same thing. So I think... when you have this sort of mass of women speaking, and normally, you know, they wouldn't say something like this.
Well, in fact, Julie Bishop was defending Tony Abbott years ago in Julia Gillard's misogyny speech and said that she thought it was appalling that Julia called out Tony Abbott and said, no, he's not at all. So I'm just interesting tables turning now.
Well, I think, you know, no doubt she feels emboldened to speak out a little bit more given what's
particularly
happened.
Now.
I mean, you still have a situation too where there are only 6 women in the cabinet. I think cabinet's about 20. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, it does sort of beg a belief that we keep having attention on these issues and it still keeps being the same old sort
As long as they all bring a plate, though, I think that should be enough representation.
And they clean up when everyone's left Parliament House.
Maureen Dowd from New York Times came out here and she did a kind of... autopsy on Australian politics, and it wasn't very flattering, and in particularly in the way our representation from women.
Oh, yeah, and I think also people tend to, just the sort of steady shift of change of leaders, you know, over the years. I think foreign countries look at us and just go, wow.
It's a bit Italian all of a sudden, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll look forward to seeing you tonight on 7:30. And
are you going
to
plug your book? Can you get away with the plug of your book on your own show? Can you be reading it as you go to the...
Can you interview yourself? You know, do one of those bewitched things.
Interview yourself, that would be fantastic.
Just going back and forth.
No, it's the ABC, that's why I've got to come on here and just plug the hell out of it. Listeners, any ordinary day in good bookstores on October the 1st.
Great stuff, Lee.
Lovely to talk to you.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
Yep.
All thanks to the Toyota-thon. It's
I
on right now.
I love the Toyota-thon.
Oh, yeah?
That's my favourite thons.
Really? Of all the thons that you have in a year?
I hate marathons. I refuse to run them again.
Me too.
But the Toyota-thon is a chance to celebrate the mighty work of Toyota in all its forms.
Yes.
It's throughout the ages.
That's right. It's on
riding
now.
Riding the gates of oblivion in a four-wheel Toyota. It's the way to go, people.
Sure. Everyone, you've got to go and check out your local Toyota dealer and search Toyota Value. Go there now because you will find out unbelievable information about, well, just for example, how about these 3 vehicles, a Hilux SRS.
I go down to showrooms and just ogle.
Do you? Just stand around and look.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I sit in the back.
Cool.
I wish I was a dog. Yeah, I wish I was running the very back.
Is it rocking?
No, not with just me in it. Right. Oh, trust me. And you know what? If I was a young girl again, even as a youngish woman.
We need the flashback.
I would be getting myself a RAV4 two-wheel drive GX because they are.
I did not know where you were going.
That is such a cool looking vehicle.
You would be a little RAV4 hottie.
I would be.
Yeah. And what else have they got?
I think I can still be a bit of a cougar hottie in a Kluger.
In a Kluger.
A Kluger Kluger.
Oh, bang.
That's a two-wheel drive GX. I tell you what, it's for the modern family.
Hello.
And it's sophisticated and spacious. It can take lots of kids,
see
dogs,
you at school pickup.
And shopping bags. You know what? I'd be in my active wear.
Can we? Really painting the picture
for
me.
Yeah, I am.
Hey, I want to go now. Where do we go? I want to go to the Toyota-thon.
All right. All you got to do is search Toyota Value.
Yeah.
Go ahead and just find it. Just do toyotathon.com.au.
Love it.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Just about done
we
for another
are
day.
Done and dusted, yeah. Muchachos. Right,
you're very excited.
I'm off to the footy.
You
I'm
are off
to
off
see
to the football.
My team, the Richmond Tigers,
yep.
Try and go back
on.
To back. I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah, you are. Look so cute. I'm, you're not, hey, you're not going to leave a girlfriend at the football like you had before,
Jane,
in your past.
You're terrible.
No, that's the way you break up with people. You just dump and run.
I did.
That's a horrific thing to do to a woman.
It is.
You make it sound football. Worse than it was. All I did, I said, wait here, I'm going to get a hot dog. Do you want anything? And I left.
And you never came back.
I never came back.
She's probably starving. She's probably still sitting there.
Sitting
how many years
seat.
Ago was that?
The scarf and...
I better stay away from Bay in 54.
You've remembered that spot. All right.
That's where she'll
good
be.
Luck with your team.
Hey, big show tomorrow. Clown of the Week.
Clown of the Week. And also Charlie Pickering's coming in.
Charlie Pickering. Old Charlie.
Yes.
Old Charlie. All right.
Hey, we had Jim Jefferies on earlier. Have you missed him? You can
well
go to
done,
the podcast.
Jimbo.
Yeah, love. He's got some shows. We'll let you know about that at kennedymalloy.com.au.
Ready, Dave.
See you for a big Friday.
Bye.
That's the end of the Kennedy Molloy catch-up. Visit your local Toyota dealer because Toyota-thon is now on. For more, search Toyota Value.